Thank you, Pam. And thank you to our drummer, Hunter. And thank you to our piano player. Yep. Grandma and great-grandma. God bless America. Scripture selection comes to us from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. May we hear the word of the Lord. And this is where we're being encouraged to pray for all people. It says pray for all men, but pray for all mankind. It's easy for us to pray for our families. It's easy for us to pray for our neighbors next door. But we are to pray for everyone. First Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is the good and the acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this, your holy word, and we thank you for that beautiful singing from Pam that we've just enjoyed, and the scripture reading as well. May her words, may the words that were sung by everyone before, may they bless our hearts. Father, may this word today be beneficial to each one of us. It's a message not from me, but from you. And we give you the praise and glory for it. In Christ's name we pray, amen. God has blessed America, don't you think? Look around. We are the best country on this planet, I think. That's just a personal anecdote there. Now it's our turn to bless America. But also, it's our turn to bless God. I wanted to start off this morning with kind of a different way of doing this morning. I found two tongue-in-cheeks messages about America. Someone wrote these interesting words entitled, "Only in America." Only in America can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance and a fire truck. Only in America are there handicapped parking places in front of a skating rink. Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way back to the back of the store to get their prescriptions, while healthy people can buy cigarettes right there as you walk in the door. Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers all the way, large fries, onion rings, milkshakes, then order a Diet Coke. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put our junk in the garage. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. I think some of y'all been thinking about that one too. That's one that has puzzled me for years. Here is some of the sadness in America. And it was entitled, "A Paradox of Our Time." The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings than ever, but shorter tempers. We have wider freeways, but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families. We have more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sins. You can finish that for me, Bertha. Thank you. More knowledge but less judgment. More experts, yet more problems. More medicine, but less wellness. We drink too much, we smoke too much, we spend too recklessly, we laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get up too tired, read too little, watch too much television, pray too seldom, do not open a Bible between Monday and Saturday. We talk too much, love too seldom, hate too often. We learn how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to our life. Wow. We've been all the way to the moon and back, and yet we still have trouble crossing the street to meet our neighbors. We've cleaned up the air, but we've polluted our souls. We've conquered the atom, but not our prejudices within our souls. We've learned to rush, but not to wait. Even there are a lot of negative things about America. I still believe that America is the greatest country in the world. We are blessed to have been born and raised in America. Someone once said, we keep asking God to bless America. He already has. Now it's our turn. It's our turn first to bless our God. And how can we do that? Many ways. Don't you think we've started off right this morning? We worshiped through song. And as that beautiful song said a while ago, what a beautiful name of Jesus. We praise Him through prayer. We've prayed this morning to our God, and to Him be the glory. Not us. We can do many good things. We can be good citizens. We can vote. We can be patriotic. We can salute the flag. We can sing the national anthem. We can show courtesy to all people, and especially the elders. We can obey the laws. We can pay our taxes. We can respect the law and its leaders. And please don't park in handicapped parking places when you're not handicapped. Yesterday I saw a guy get out of a car, and it was a red Corvette. Parked in a handicapped park. He bounces out of it, and he's just bouncing happy and was singing. And I said, and your handicap is? He said, I ain't got any sense. He said, that's my handicap. What else could I say? We must pray unceasingly, according to verse 1 that I read earlier. I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. There's a part of sadness in America today. People all often huddle together. But it's not for prayer. It's not for Bible services. They're generally huddled together to play something, to attend something, to watch something, but seldom to attend church or to glorify God. Samuel Chadwick, a Christian writer, wrote, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies. He fears nothing from prayerless work. And he especially fears nothing about prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, he mocks at our wisdom, and he trembles when we pray. So that should tell everyone that we should pray more. We should get on our knees and pray to the good Lord above. That he will bless America. That he will bless our families, us individually, our churches, and those who teach within it. The man who mobilizes the Christian church, says Andrew Murray, when he does it to pray, will make the greatest contribution to world evangelism in the history of it. And there's a lot of truth in that. The great Dr. Charles Spurgeon said, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. What the church needs today is not more machinery, not better machinery, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men and women whom the Holy Spirit can use, mighty people in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but he flows through the hearts of men and women in prayer. And we might add, when in corporate prayer, it just gets better. We must be a people of prayer if we're going to see any good come to America and in our own lives. You see young children today who don't know Jesus Christ. And as some of the people that came last Wednesday night, got kind of emotional a little bit, and I had somebody to come visit, and this lady said that she didn't quite understand this thing about God and Jesus being the same. She believed in Jesus, but didn't believe in God and did not believe in the Holy Spirit. I said, can you make a triangle? Hold your hand like this. I said, it's a triune God. That's what we serve. I said, at the top, God Almighty. Next, we have Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then we have the Holy Spirit, who guides our souls, who guides our speech. Except when you're not doing pretty speech. She said, who's guiding me then? I said, the devil. We must pray at home. We must pray at church. We must pray at prayer meetings. We must pray while driving in our cars. Now, that don't mean that when you take off down 795 out here, Lord, because I know what's going to happen next. Be upside down in a ditch or hitting a concrete wall or something. But you can pray driving down the road. to it all the time. We must pray for our mates. We must pray for our children, for our family members, for our ministers. We must pray for our church members, for our church leaders, and for our country's leaders. Whether you believe everything about them, still, they're our leaders. Follow them. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We have here at our church have just finished studying James, and we enjoyed. That was one of our better studies. But James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. How powerful is prayer? How effective is prayer? Let me give you a couple examples. In 1872, the famous American preacher, Dr. Dwight Moody, went to England. And he had a former student that was the pastor there at that church. And Dr. Moody was supposed to preach the last night. However, the young preacher said, Dr. Moody, I would love for you to come up here and preach. Dr. Moody said, well, I'll be doing it the last night during this week. And the young preacher said, Dr. Moody, they would love to hear you preach two nights. He stands up. And he just don't feel it. He don't feel there's an energy out there. He don't feel that the Spirit of the Lord was there. He said a few words and sat down. He was so discouraged. The next night, he stood up to preach. And he felt the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, the powers of an unseen world seem to have fallen on the audience and the speaker as well. And when he concluded his message and offered the invitation, if there is a man and woman who is here tonight that would accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, stand up and come forward. And he was expecting one or two. 512 people came forward. He was overwhelmed. Now for the rest of that story. Dr. Moody preached at the morning service. There was a woman in the congregation who had an invalid sister at home. And when she returned home, she said, Sister, the preacher that preached this morning is from America, and we have seen him on television. We have heard him on the radio. And God sent him to London to preach in our church. So tonight you must go. So the sister said, I want everyone out of my room. I want to lock the door, send me no dinner. No matter who comes, I don't want to see them. No matter who wants to talk to me, I don't want anything to do with it. I am going to spend the whole afternoon and evening in prayer to God for Dr. Moody. And it was that night that 512 people came forward. Does it do any good to pray for people? What do you think? Perhaps we need to spend more time in prayer. Less time in eating. More time in believing. Less time in straying. We must pray. And we must pray for people most of all. Mr. Leighton Ford, who was one of Billy Graham's associates, said one time, I am speaking at an open-air crusade in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Billy Graham was to speak the next night. And he arrived early just so he could be with me and to help me through my service. Billy Graham sat in the back row. He had a big straw hat. He wore sunglasses. He didn't want people to recognize him. But directly in front of him sat an elderly gentleman who seemed to be listening intently to what Leighton Ford was saying. Dr. Graham said that he decided to do a little personal evangelism himself. He tapped the man on the shoulder and said, would you like to accept Christ? He said, I'll be glad to walk down with you if you want to, sir. But I was saved 3 weeks ago. The old man looked up and down, thought it over for a few minutes. Turned back around and he recognized Billy Graham. And he said, Dr. Graham, I really love your preaching. And I wish you would have been here tonight to preach. Billy Graham said, we will pray for everyone. He said, well, I'll go with you up front. They went up front, knelt down at the altar, and started praying. I have read that 95% of all Christians have never tried to lead anybody to Christ. That means that 5% of all Christians do 100% of the work of evangelism. In which group are you? The Lord doesn't expect us to do everything, but He expects us to do something. God is the only hope for America and for us as individuals, for us as families, for us as churches. And we must do whatever we can to bless America and others and love Christ better than ourselves. To God be the glory. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have truly blessed us and you have truly blessed our churches. You have truly blessed America. Now it's America's turn to bless America and also and especially bless you, O Lord. Father, we ask that you will forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.